All right, let me just pause. Jed, are you back with us?
I am, yes.
Beautiful. We are set and ready to roll for our MediaBids Power Hour, an educational teleseminar for advertising sales leaders around the world. Whether we are talking about print sales, print ad sales, your e-newsletters, your website, or all three of those, whether we're talking about those of you who sell ads for newspapers, magazines, direct mail, free circ, paid circ, controlled circ, whatever it might be, you are in the right space and place. Jed and myself always focus on the topics that relate directly to advertising sales in all mediums and in all formats. As we are getting settled in, you'll always hear Jed and I encourage you to find a quiet spot, close your office door, turn off your technology, find a way to really actively listen. Over the course of the next 55, 60 minutes or so, we're going to share a lot with you, and during the course of that, the more notes you make, the more notes you take, the more we're going to transfer the knowledge and infuse the knowledge and be able to give that to you. We consider that the coach approach, the approach that we've utilized for the last two-plus decades with ad leaders around the world. We also want you to know that it's not an accident that there's not something on your screen. We don't want you many-tasking or multitasking. We keep it low to no tech. You dial in, you make notes, we share the insight, and off we go. And that's really the key piece that we want to share with all of you. Lastly, if you have any specific questions beyond those, the questions that were submitted prior to the teleseminar, just simply send them to Ernest@powerhour.com or hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here. With me today, as always, is Jed with MediaBids, the CEO and founder. Jed, how about some opening words about you and MediaBids and the work you do? I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then we're going to launch right in and talk about ad spends and ad trends from 2015, the year in review. So how about some opening words about MediaBids and the work that you do with those you serve?
Sure. First of all, thank you to Ernest. Ernest does a great job in these teleseminars, and I always learn a lot from all of the all of his experience and advice. I strongly recommend that that anyone on the call look into his Tuesday Academy because you know, because he's got a lot of experience and really a lot to share when it comes to how to get the most out of your sales efforts. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We are a company that is entirely devoted to driving revenue to print publications. We use as many different tools as we possibly can to do so, and we're consistently looking for new ways and new methods to try to increase revenue for print publications. We believe in print. We believe in the results that it can produce. We see firsthand the results that it can produce. And we, you know, and on today's call, which is a little bit different than most of the ones that we do throughout the year, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the results that we've seen from our small corner of the print world. If you have any questions about MediaBids or would like to speak to us, please give me a call at any time. We have a follow-up email that will go out, and you can contact us through that. Or just go to visit our website at MediaBids.com, and all of our contact information is there. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Beautiful. And thank you, Jed, as always. And as all of you are sort of settling in as you're listening to Jed talk about MediaBids, many, many of you work directly with him. For those who don't or have not or are not aware of, take the time, go to MediaBids. You'll love working with their team. They know what they're talking about. They'll help you drive new revenue. They'll help you give. What I really love is they'll bring named advertisers to you, and those named advertisers help you sell other advertisers. It's very, very cool beyond the revenue component. During the course of all of our educational programs, Jed and I always have three goals. We want to share new ideas, right? We want to stretch your thinking and spur and stir your thought process. Number two, we want to confirm the things you're doing are the best practices when you listen to the things we'll be talking about today. And then lastly, the serendipitous ideas that you weren't even planning or expecting for. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the ad sales industry in 1986, coming up on, three decades. I launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group. I launched Power Hour in 1995, and we've coached and guided more than 2,000 ad sales leaders and companies and ad teams in 11 time zones around the world over the last 21 years. Big picture, the hotter the kitchen in your world, the more I want to help you and my team. We want to help you win. What does that mean? Big opportunities, big challenges, big revenue goals. Those are the things, those are the areas that we work best, and we'd love to help you with that. And then Jed also mentioned every Tuesday we run an academy just like this. Every academy member gets an audio piece on Monday, generally 12 to 15 minutes. You listen to that on the topic, and every Tuesday we come together. The difference is the line is open. I'm there fielding your questions real time, as many as you have about the topic related to successful media sales. So let us know if you'd like to join us. PowerHour.com is our site. All right, we are ready to go. Ad spends and trends. It almost rhymes. And the year in review, and Jed has assured me that he has vast information to pull from the universe to bring to us to share. And let me just tell all of you, when Jed began rolling out these sort of years in review and some of the summaries and observations with media bid stats, data, and trends, I sat at the edge of my seat. The first time he rolled it out, I was like, wow, I'm sitting on a meeting, I'm listening to a presentation, I'm listening to stats, that there's no one on the planet that could give the presentation that Jed's going to share today. And that's in part because the velocity of ads that they're placing, the analysis of that, and the tracking of millions and millions of inbound calls and results. So what you're going to hear, I truly believe, Jed, there's no one else that could give the presentation you give or has the data you have, which is what I love most about you, your team, and what we'll be covering today. So let's get started. We said that we're going to talk about the advertisers. We said we'd talk about ad categories and kind of an overview, introduction. And then we're going to talk a little bit about print, how it's faring, and some of those other topics. So let me turn it over to you. Where to first?
All right. Well, you know, I thanks very much, Ernest. You know, I want to make it clear to everyone on the call just how big a fan I am of print. I've spent about, you know, all of my adult life, you know, about 26 years, assuming I'm now an adult, 26 years of working in almost every capacity. And I've been a reporter, an ad manager, a publisher, you know, and then I started MediaBits. And what the goal of MediaBits has always been has been to develop and use different revenue models for publications. So I come at this from a standpoint of love. You know, I want to see publications succeed. And more importantly than publications, right? More importantly than the print version of publications, I want to see the news gathering and information services that publications provide. I want to see them thrive, right? Because I believe that it sounds grandiose, but I believe that they're just essential to democracy. That no other news gathering model that anyone has come up with can rival, even come close to what print is providing, you know, and that includes, you know, television and radio and the internet. You know, without the information that print is providing, we're all worse off. And as a democracy, and as a citizenry, we're going to be in a difficult spot. So the survival of print, I feel, is critical, right? It's critical, you know, for me personally, but it's also critical for the nation. And I, you know, again, it sounds like I'm like I'm going over the edge, but I really feel like it's important, and people don't talk about it enough. Just what a critical role print publications play, and that's why, you know, what we're going to talk about today, you know, I take very, very seriously. So let's get started. You know, 2000. You know what we what the one of the goals of the today's teleseminar is to sort of go over 2015 and see how things have you know, what trends are developing and what that sort of tells us about our everyday advertising efforts, you know, as they relate to print. You know, one of the things that happened in 2015 is, you know, and really sort of the general thrust of the numbers is that the trends that we've sort of seen begin 10 years ago have really continued. You know, by some estimates, print may have been up a couple percentage points this year. The numbers are still coming in from 2015, so print oriented companies like Shoom, which monitors the tear sheets from thousands of publications across the country, editor and publisher, and Newspaper Advertising of America, they all have print being up a couple percentage points. More generic sources like Ad Age, for example, has print being down a couple percentage points. I'm not sure that it matters that much in the grand scheme of things whether it was up two points or down 2 points. You know, the trends are still sort of in place. You know, in 2015, 10.9% of all advertising was spent on newspapers, 9.5% on magazines. To put that in perspective, in 2007, 28% of all advertising was spent on newspapers, 14.5% on magazines. So in 2007, when there was $105.5 billion of total expenditures in the U.S., more was being spent on print advertising than was spent last year with a $145 billion total expenditure. I mean, and what's really happening is that over the past 8 years, to use this as an example, and the reason why 2007 is relevant is it's sort of the first it's sort of the last kind of pre-recession year that we can really hang our numbers on, but in the last 8 years, the allocation of media spend has dropped by about 17% to print, and at the same time grown by about 10% on the digital side, and that to me is sort of the one number you really want to let sink in, because the trend is not good. As advertisers are shifting their dollars away from traditional media, but most of all print, into digital.
Mm-hmm. And just to comment on that, as they're making that shift, and given our work with them with our own digital solutions, right, we're able to stay in step with them. But I know a compelling component of what you're going to share with us is, but wait, while we are doing digital and we are aware of those shifts, the fact is that print is incredibly compelling from the results it generates, right?
It is, and it's also incredibly important for most organizations for most publications, because while print, you know, may be up a little bit this year. It's still in the neighborhood of about $16 billion a year. The digital component of print publications is about $3 billion a year. And the problem that print that publications that are trying to morph into part digital, part print organizations are having is that the digital component just isn't growing as fast as the print component is shrinking. So, for example, in 2015, the estimates are that the digital revenue will be about $3.5 billion for print publications. That's roughly what it was in 2014. In 2013, it was $3.4 billion. 2012, $3.4. 2011, $3.2. So it's not growing as quickly as the money is being moved away from print. And that's why, that's why it's still, look, $3.4 billion is nothing to dismiss, but it's hard to imagine that the digital component in and of itself is going to be the solution for a lot of publications, unless things change, and they always do. But based on the trends that we see now, for example, in 2007, print was a $42 billion industry, with the digital still existed. Digital was $3.2 billion of that, but it has reduced down to $16 billion. So it's taken a huge hit in the last 8 years, and that hit has not really been replaced by additional digital spending. In fact, and I don't have this stat, but given the fact that there are so many more digital print-related digital properties today than there were in 2007, I'm not sure if the increase is a result of more advertiser interest or if it's a result of just that much more inventory being available.
Because the increase
you're talking about is a couple million dollars, really.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say that, roll the clock back, Jed, to our earliest days. You put an ad in the Yellow Pages, you put an ad in your newspaper, maybe there was a city magazine of some sort, and that was it. Everything was channel right there. It was also easier to count all the dollars and roll it up. It didn't take a mathematician. Today, you can launch a $10 domain, right, and you're competing in a sector. Wow, look at that. I'm going to have a website about sailboats, and I'm going to sell advertising. And then tomorrow, right, Lucy is going to buy a $10 domain, and she's going to have a website. It's become much more challenging, much more fragmented, and it also means that we as ad sales professionals are working harder to stay on top of who are my competitors, who are the dominant players, and then how do I compare and contrast, whether it's the digital, the newsletter, the print, who's bringing what to the table. So no doubt, Jed, it's more challenging than it was in the high cotton days, right?
Right. And this explosion of inventory online has created lots of problems for digital advertising. There are enormous obstacles that digital advertising has, and I don't mean just for the print, the digital components of print publications. I mean just in general. I mean, one of the things which has happened is that because there's so much inventory online, that has driven prices way, way down. It's also driven the results that advertisers get way, way down. So it's not all good times on the digital side. There are lots of reasons to believe that digital is in significant amounts of trouble because of because of the because of sort of how the advertising is being presented and bought and sold, and most importantly the actual results that advertisers are seeing from the digital advertising that they do. One of the reasons we talked a few minutes ago about some of the increases in that may have happened in print in 2015, I think that a large part of it is that because digital has become such a mess in a lot of ways, it's forcing advertisers to sort of take another look at print where they may not have otherwise have done so, because it's really print is sort of for a lot of advertisers kind of a new medium that they're revisiting for the first time in a while, and we can get into more of that later. We see that a lot here at MediaBids, and most of the advertisers that we work with have not traditionally used print at all. So that's kind of a sweet spot for us, and I think it's an area that publications can capitalize on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And as we're rolling along, again, Jez, we're rolling along. We'll continue to field your questions. Just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here live, or even after we wrap up today, you can send any of your questions to Ernest@powerhour.com. We're more than happy to work and weave those in here or follow up afterward. Part of what you were sharing, Jed, is this whole piece about the digital side. You take Facebook, and how they place ads. You look at Google and how they, place their ads at the top. And you think about other mediums and formats and blogs and Twitter and everybody trying to sort it all out. And there are challenges on those side, on that side of the house, because even as you step back and say, when was the last time you clicked on any of those, thus the results. But then we have challenges on the other side, right, with advertisers and ad agencies measuring where it's coming from. I always love the response, oh, gosh, we're driving, we're Bob's Plumbers and we're just driving our social media. And then you go, really? There hasn't been a post made on Facebook, in 3 years. So there's a lot of perception and reality needing to be sorted out there, much to your point, yes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll jump around a little bit, but here at MediaBids, we track what we do with all of the ads we place is that we put some sort of tracking mechanism into the ad. So we put a phone number or a unique URL or the most common forms of tracking. But you can also use QR codes and text message responses. There's lots of ways to try to track the results of the ad. So we, in 2015, we received about 3 million phone calls from ads that we placed. We placed about 300,000 ads. And we got about 3 million phone calls. What we do is we see what happened with those phone calls, and we get information back from our advertisers on what happened with those phone calls. So we know that based on all of the data that we have, that our conversion rate was 36%, which means that 36% of the time when someone dialed a phone number, something happened that the advertiser wanted to have happen. In a lot of cases, that's a sale. In some cases, it's asking for more information. In other cases, it's giving a name and address. It really depends on the advertiser. So they're not all 100% sales, but they're not sales primarily because that's not what the advertiser was searching for in their in asking the customer to call. So our conversion rate overall was 36%. And I don't think that's uncommon for print. I mean, we're not doing anything magical. We're using virtually every print publication in the United States. I'm sure there's plenty we missed, but we use tens of thousands of print publications, and we're using ads that are in many cases sort of the same offer that's appearing in other mediums, just made into a print ad. So, you know, it's not like a Groupon situation where we're requiring advertisers to offer a deal that they wouldn't offer anywhere else. We'd like to do that, but in 2015 we haven't. So 36% conversion rate, that's an important number, because the conversion rate online is 1%, and the 1% is doing well. Advertisers who get a 1% conversion rate online are extremely happy with themselves and consider it to be an enormous success. So that is the crux of it right there. You know, we could probably sort of meditate on those numbers for a while. You know, at the same time that print's overall ad spend share is shrinking, the results are extremely compelling. And that's the good news about print publications, is that the people who read them respond. And when they respond, they're interested in buying, and that's not something that happens in other mediums, and that's really, you know, really a story that I think, if print is going to reverse the trends that we're talking about, print publications need to start gathering that information on their own, number one, but also making sure that advertisers know that the conversion rate and the money that they spend in print is working. So if it's one of the things, you know, sort of in preparing for this teleseminar that sort of becomes kind of obvious is why is it that what we see is so contradictory to sort of the overall trends? Why we're sitting here sort of saying to ourselves, you know, print works and print is doing great and look at all these sales that our advertisers are getting as a result of print ads. You know, how come other people aren't seeing this, you know? And I think that there's a few reasons. You know, one of the big reasons is the numbers that people put out about how people spend their time with media. One of the things that, you know, advertising agencies and larger advertisers look at a lot is, you know, we want to get our message and our ad in front of people, but where are the people? And according to Ad Age, the average American spent 12 hours and 4 minutes a day consuming media of some type in 2015. They spent 4 hours and 11 minutes watching television every day, 5 hours and 29 minutes on digital media of some type every day, and an hour and 27 minutes listening to the radio, 30 minutes consuming print in total, 17 minutes on average for newspapers and 13 minutes for magazines. So I think that a lot of the ad dollars sort of follow the eyeball. Right, and mm-hmm. So the anticipation is that by putting your ad in front of where people are, you know, you're going to have results. The average American now spends more time on Facebook than reading a newspaper. Right, they spend 21 minutes a day on Facebook, and as I mentioned, 17 minutes a day reading a newspaper. So I don't know what that says about our democracy, but it's not good. So these types of numbers, these types of stats, are really kind of driving advertising sales and where advertisers are sort of, you know, thinking that they need to be. The missing part of the equation, though, is the response that comes about as a result of this media. As I mentioned, despite the fact that people are spending 5 hours and 29 minutes a day in front of digital media of all types, the response rate is still extremely low. So it's difficult to sort of fight the trend of where people are spending their time, but as a advertising professional, it's a lot easier to try to fight the battle of what happened, what happens with the ad dollars that you spent. When you're thinking about these trends, the largest advertisers and industries, are focusing on where people are. The second big reason that digital has grown so much is really because it does its best to absolve advertisers of risk. So most digital advertising dollars are spent on an action or a response, as opposed to buying straight space. I'm sure everyone on this call is familiar with it, but it's either, and most advertisers are charged by a view or a click. They're not charged by straight space. So the idea that for an advertiser of buying a quarter page ad in a newspaper or a magazine and hoping it works is not as compelling in many cases as buying something where you only pay for it if it works, if the action that you're looking for actually happens. And so that's helped promote the rise of digital quite a bit. And we can see, you can see that continuing on in 2015. I'm sure that there's a lot of people here on the call, and traditionally the way that print has thought about this stuff has been that, ads are not really, the response and the results that are generated from ads are not really our problem. I talk to a lot of print professionals, on a daily and weekly basis, and even today, most people at publications sort of have a hands-off attitude once the ad is placed. They believe that their job is done, and they've fulfilled their requirements. You buy a quarter page, you place a quarter page, and that's it. Whatever happens after that is sort of the advertiser's problem. And I'm here to tell you that kind of attitude is accelerating print's decline, because that is not how many advertisers think about the world anymore.
If I could just insert, Jed, this whole piece about advertisers, right? I mean, while they may have more choices, it's more difficult for advertisers. It's more difficult to make ad buys from for an ad agency, right? I mean, there's a whole layer of complexity that we shouldn't skip over. Also, on some level, it's not that easy on the other side of the table any longer, right, for advertisers to make their media buys and really know what's working best, where the best return on their investment is, without having to actively and more aggressively pay attention. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And we've done whole calls on this, but I think you really just can't underestimate the aversion to risk that most advertisers have. Most advertisers in today's world want to place an ad that will work. They're reluctant to try to help you figure out whether or not it's working. If you can provide them with information that shows them it's working, they will continue to advertise and will advertise enthusiastically. If you are unwilling to do that, and if you're unwilling to play that game, then then you're really limiting the universe of potential advertisers, because what you're doing is you're saying to the advertisers who are lazy, which by the way is most of them, that they need to figure it out on their own. And that's something that digital doesn't do, right? Digital doesn't require advertisers to make those kinds of assumptions on their own. They provide data, and that's the one area where digital has had an enormous advantage over traditional media, because it has this sort of ready-made reporting component that traditional media just has been reluctant to adopt. Sorry, someone's beeping outside. So as you're thinking about this stuff, and as you're thinking about the trends, I mean, I don't think it's a difficult thing to put a number on, but without a doubt, the ability for digital to create a scenario where advertisers have what they believe to be limited risk is an enormous component of their success. And you know, we mentioned ad agencies a minute ago. The number one goal of most ad agencies is not to get fired, right? So if they can place an ad and say, look at that, you know, it generated 1,000 views or 200 clicks, you know, they're less likely to be questioned by their client. You know, and I know that this is sort of a different way of thinking from the way most publications have approached it. You know, a lot of publications, as we mentioned, you know, have sort of always thought of their ads as being branding ads, right? Ads that are placed in their publication so that when a customer wants to buy, they will remember that that advertiser, you know, is offering the goods or services that they are, and will then reach out to that advertiser and make a purchase. And one of the things which is interesting is that as time goes on, more and more of the top branding advertisers have migrated away from print and migrated to television. Almost all of television's growth in recent years has been from branding advertisers, and really to a large extent at print's expense. So, for example, in 2015, for non-alcoholic beverages like Coke, Pepsi, Gatorade, or Dr. Pepper, they spent a combined $1.77 billion. Restaurants like McDonald's and Subway spent a combined total of $6.3 billion. You know, among the top 200 advertisers in the U.S., a total of $57.3 billion was spent in 2015, and of that amount, about $40 billion of it was spent on television. 5.3% was spent on newspapers and magazines. In 2007, however, for this top 200 advertisers, ad expenditures were higher than they were in 2015. They were $61 billion as compared to $57 billion in 2015. 17% was spent on print. So you can see that print has gone way, way down in the minds of these brand advertisers. So the idea that the answer is in brand advertising is something that, you know, I hope I can dispel. I don't think that it's true. I think that most advertisers who are advertising today, in print and in most other places, are doing so with the express desire to get a specific result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's important to recognize as we're watching the trends of what's happening on the digital, as we're looking at the impact on the print, but we're also coming back, Jed, to the results, right? I mean, you know, what you know, the response matters, right? And when we look at the print success by comparison to other mediums, there's an additional story to be told there as well, yes?
Right. I mean, print is really sort of the Maserati of response, right? It does phenomenally well when you measure it. You know, as I mentioned earlier, 36% conversion rate is what we had in 2015, and that's across many, many different types of advertisers. So that's everything from Dish Network and DirecTV and Omaha Steaks to, you know, Jackson Hewitt Tax Preparation Services to, you know, to smaller companies that are selling, you know, nutraceuticals or tort litigation or local attorneys it's really across a wide spectrum of advertisers, about 250 different advertisers. You know, and for us here at MediaBids, you know, we sort of started out as a company that was focused on trying to automate the traditional sales process. And we kind of fell into this idea of tracking the response about seven or eight years ago. We really had no desire to track response any more than probably most of the people on this call, right? You know, who needs an extra job? But what it's done for us is it's opened up this whole new world, a whole new world of being able to speak to advertisers who traditionally do not buy into the idea of buying space in print. We currently work with we have on our site about 10,000 advertisers, and we work with on a response basis usually around 100 at a time. We turn away probably 3 to 4 advertisers a week who want to run response-based ads that we don't think are going to perform as well as other opportunities that we have. And the reason we turn them away is because the amount that they're willing to pay oftentimes is too low. The offer that they have in their ad oftentimes isn't very compelling for consumers. So we want something that's going to perform well in print. So we're making choices based on what we can see, and we're able to kind of, you know, pick and choose advertisers that we think will perform well. I don't see why any publication in America couldn't do exactly the same thing, and really sort of, you know, drive the prices that they're getting from advertisers up as a result of being able to show data about the results that they're generating. Because that's all that we're doing, right? We know that on any given day, we're going to get about 350 phone calls for Dish Network, right? We know that we're going to be able to drive, you know, out of those 350 phone calls for Dish Network, somewhere around 300 of them are going to turn into real customers. So we know that kind of, you know, going into it, and we're able to say to anyone with a relatable business, you know, this is what we're doing for other types of businesses like you. This is what they're paying. This is what you have to pay. You know, you need to pay more because we're going to be able to generate so much more in terms of customer value than you're getting from other mediums. You know, to use Dish as an example, you know, they're paying us, you know, around $15 per call. You know, online they're paying less than a dollar. You know, so they pay us substantially more than they do any other medium, and we're only able to do that because we're able to track the results, we're able to see the results, and we're able to use those results to go back to the advertiser and say, if you want these customers, then you know, you have to do X, Y, or Z. And the pain points for us, the issues for us are, you know, we want We want advertisers to pay, obviously, you know, as much as they can, as much as makes sense based on their product or service. We also are looking for advertisers who have a compelling offer, right, who have an offer that consumers really want. Because as we've learned, you know, you can really bang your head against the wall about why it is that that certain types of products are getting better results than others, but if consumers don't want the product, then all of the tracking in the world is not going to amount to anything. You have to be able to give them an offer that is going to be compelling. That's really what sort of Groupon was built around. They've kind of, you know, slid off the radar quite a bit, and they have their own internal problems. But one of the things that they did really well, and their success really points out, is, you know, if you give people 50% off, they'll buy it. You know, so
yep.
You know,
yep.
As someone who's talking to advertisers, you know, the people on this call should really think about that, because if you're going to show people results, you want to make sure you have good results, and you're only going to have good results if you have a competitive or a compelling offer that you're able to advertise.
Let's just pause here, just so I can insert this part about, you know, ad design, ad offers, ad creativity. I mean, and then again, test, measure, and evaluate. Jed, what you're touching on is a very important point, right? That we have to be honest with advertisers. We have to be honest about what we know in a competitive sector will do or provide side by side. That if an ad is not going to compete with those that are in their space, the ad's not going to pull, right? I mean, so we have those pieces to really factor in. And as we sort of come around the bend here in the last, you know, 10, 12 minutes before the top of the hour, and as you kind of think about, you know, some of the key touch points, Jed, you've been focusing on those, right? I mean, you've been sharing with us the trends of what it is that you're seeing and what it is you're measuring from MediaBid's perspective. But what other key points do you want to also share before we wrap up for today's telesummit?
That's Ernest's nice way of telling me, you know, you haven't hit about seven of the things you said you would.
Because I want them all. That's what I want. That's exactly. You're holding out the juice from the vast universe.
What, you know, it 2015, let me I'm going to talk about MediaBids for a second, because I think it's relevant in the sense that that we believe what I just described, right? We believe that tracking the response, that showing advertisers what they're getting from their advertising dollars in print is beneficial. We, in 2015 for us was our best year ever. We were up by about 28% over 2014. And this is all in print. I mean, not all, but the vast majority of it. You know, 98% of it is print versus digital. We run digital ads. We just don't get very good response from them, which is, you know, based on what I explained earlier, shouldn't be a big surprise. We do really, really well in print, and we have advertisers that want to advertise more and more and more in print because we're able to show them the results. So I'm sort of laying out a path which may not be perfect for every publication out there, but it's something that everyone should consider, you know, because what we do is we charge advertisers based on the results that they generate, or we charge them based for space, but we track the results and then show them how the results that they generate back out from a cost perspective. You know, I think that for most publications, the first step is what I described, the ladder that I described, where if you're able to show publications the results that they, show advertisers the results that they generate, you're able to then justify your costs. And we deal with primarily large regional or national advertisers, and I'll tell you, it's a much, much different conversation, an entirely different conversation, when you can say to an advertiser, you know, this is what we generated for you, this is how much it was worth, and therefore, you know, we think you should pay X. Because if they have that data, they're much more likely to go along with you, and they're much more, it's hard for them to say no. You know, when you're generating, you know, in our case, when we're generating millions of dollars worth of sales for an advertiser, they don't want to just turn that spigot off, right? It matters to them. So we're consistently gathering the data and sharing the data with our advertisers, because we know that the data is going to make us look stronger. One of the things that we consistently see from and we hear from all of our advertisers is that not only is our close rate much higher, but the repurchase rate is also much higher for the clients that we drive to them. So the but what I mean by that is that once someone has responded to an ad and makes that initial purchase, that's the 36% conversion rate I talked about earlier. However, what we also know is that the people who buy from print are also more likely to buy again. And the reason for that is that they've made a much more intelligent response, right? Someone who reads a newspaper or a magazine or any type of publication and then picks up a phone or goes to their computer and types in a URL is a much different kind of consumer than someone who's sitting in front of the TV, you know, surfing on Facebook and, you know, and clicks on an ad for some sort of beauty cream, right? You know, that person has almost a 0% chance of buying, whereas someone for that same beauty cream who calls as a result of a print ad has an infinitely higher percentage of buying. Now, the big difference from an advertiser perspective is that print doesn't generate the kind of volume that you can get from something like Facebook, right? You know, you're not going to get as many clicks from a newspaper or magazine ad as you would from Facebook, but the people that you're getting are much, much more qualified and much, much more valuable. So that has really sort of changed for us the types of advertisers that we go after, and also in terms of advertiser expectations, has changed what we're about. We don't expect to flood a client's call center with phone calls based on 50 or 60 different ads that we place. What we do expect, though, is that the calls that they do receive are going to be quality calls that are very likely to turn into purchases. The same cannot be said for other mediums. And I think when you're out there and you're talking to advertisers, it's important to be able to draw that distinction, because many advertisers make the mistake of judging a medium based on the volume that it can generate. And if you're not able to provide the data, it's a difficult argument to win. When someone, you know, places an ad online and gets, you know, 1,000 clicks in the first 5 minutes of an ad appearing, you know, it feels really good, right? You know, it feels like they've been successful. But when they take time and look at the conversion rates and at the numbers, there's a good chance that ad is not going to be successful. You know, in the same way, print oftentimes feels like a failure initially, because the number of respondents to any one print ad is typically very small. You know, we see on average a response of about 3 or 4 phone calls per individual ad placed overall throughout 2015. That's a pretty small number if by comparison. However, if you then say to yourself, okay, that means at a 36% rate, that means that we're generating more than a customer per phone call. That's phenomenal. And, you know, so for every ad that's placed, we're getting a new customer. That's a great rate, and that's a number that that there aren't too many advertisers out there would want to ignore. So there's a really compelling story to tell. I guess you know, as we're coming up to the top of the hour, you know, I urge all of you to, you know, to make the steps to be able to tell it. You know, we've had a lot of success in being able to articulate that you know, that story through using call and sale data that we gather from our advertisers and we gather ourselves. But none of it is difficult to do, and I think that print may never be in a position again where it's, you know, where it's commanding 40% or 50% of national advertisers' budgets. However, it is in a position where it can command more advertising budgets than it currently is, and it certainly is in a position where it doesn't have to command less. Because print is able to deliver sales, it's able to deliver the kind of customers that advertisers are looking for, and by doing so, it can survive and, you know, and I believe thrive. But it requires sort of a different mentality from publications than many are sort of currently comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. You're right, and that really is the spirit of what we're talking about, how to thrive and how to keep looking towards the future. And what can we learn from where we've been for the last 12 months as we go into the next 12 months and 24 going forward? Frankly, you know, Jed, as we know, it takes what? A telescope to have the vision. It takes a microscope to now say, what do we do next and what do we do next? And there's that constant back and forth, right? I mean, we may look outside and say, what does the weather look like? But every hour it's changing, and we're doing the same thing, being very responsive to our advertisers, the ad community, the ad agencies, and then all the forces that surround us, right? Is it print? Is it digital? Is it a combination of all? What are the next trends coming next? It's like riding a surfboard to the beach, right? The beach keeps getting a little closer, the wave keeps getting a little taller, and the rocks keep getting a little sharper as you're coming in, but in the end, we're still on the surfboard, and we're still riding it. Does that visual, you know, sync up, Jed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's the danger in sort of going over these numbers that it can feel like there's no hope, and I hope that, you know, in the course of the last hour, I've sort of, you know, explained some of our success and why we've had it, and maybe there's some parts of it that people on the call can apply to their own everyday advertising efforts, because I have to tell you what we do is not any different than what any publication out there can do on their own. It's just that, you know, it might be with different types of advertisers, and it might be on a slightly different scale, but collecting the data is so incredibly valuable, and it really puts you in a position to discuss with advertisers, you know, advertising in a much different way. It's no longer about buying space; it's about buying customers. It's a subtle change, but it's an enormous one in the mind of an advertiser.
No, you're absolutely right. And as we come up on the top of the hour, thank you so much to all of you who have joined us live, the questions that you've posed, the responses that we've shared. We'll continue to field your questions long after we're done. We're here for you. Come to the MediaBids website. For those of you who already work with Jed and their team, you know that both the value, the results, the responsiveness, and the way that they work. For those of you that are always looking to learn more and have new strategies going forward, incorporate MediaBids into your winning solutions as you go forward. And then in turn, if you get a few minutes, come into our site at powerhour.com. Click on the academy that we run every single Tuesday, and we will help you take the big picture, bring it from the telescope to the microscope, bring it down, and give you step-by-step every single Tuesday the world of ad sales, ad buying, ad competitiveness, and competitive selling has become more complex. And when you have all the tools and the resources, you will win. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up today?
Good news is next month when we do this, Ernest will do most of the talking. So you have that to look forward to. But I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone for joining us. And if you have any questions or comments about anything I've said, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to discuss any of this.
Absolutely. And Jed, thank you for all of your prep. And in turn, I have, as always, tremendously enjoyed your information, your presentation, and your prep. So thank you to all of you. It's been wonderful to be here together today, as always. Take care and make it a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.